Hey, amen. My name is Danny Foss. I'm from Grace Baptist Church of Jacksonville, North Carolina. I'm a church planting missionary going to the country of Serbia. And so an honor to be here tonight. It's a blessing and a privilege. And I'm nervous. You pray for me. I'm as nervous as a cockroach in a chicken pen. So a little bit nervous there. So, it's a blessing to be here. And I tell you, this is a wonderful church. It's a beautiful church, beautiful building. You people out there, not so much. But beautiful building anyway. And you might not like me now, but anyhow, I'm going to Serbia. And let me ask you just for a question here. Who knows where Serbia's at by a show of hands before today? All right, a few of you. I don't know if you count, though. But all right, amen. But anyway, it's why I ask that is because it is a very important thing, because there's a lot of confusion about it, and some people actually pray in that way, and so please be diligent about that. If you choose to pray for me, which I hope that you would, please pray that I go to Serbia. Some people are actually praying that I go to Siberia, but I don't want to go there. It's too cold for me there, and then some people are praying that I go to suburbia. Never even heard of that. I also heard I'm going to Serbia. But anyhow, Serbia is about the same size an area like South Carolina, and they have about 7.5 million people there, and they do not have an independent Baptist missionary there yet, or any independent Baptist churches there. And so I ask you, if you would, to do something about that, to be a part of reaching Serbia for the Lord, and that these folks can have what we've got here. It's my goal to do that, to give them the opportunity to have the gospel preached in truth and with power. And the Holy Spirit just bring conviction upon hearts, teach the Bible, preach the Bible, and try to reach folks with the gospel so they can be saved and go to heaven. And be discipled along the way, plant some churches. And so it's just my goal to be able to help them to have what we've got here. We don't need to crowd it to ourselves. We don't need to have it all to ourselves. We need to share it. Allow folks to know the truth. And so that's what these folks, they desperately need that. Their dominant religion is a Serbian Orthodox Church, which is actually a lot like the Catholic Church. And so be a lot like that, people would struggle with giving up the old and going to the real. And so I ask if you pray for that, for those folks. So 85% claim to be that, but only 7% actually faithfully attend. They were 40-50 years under Yugoslavia, which was communist, and so a lot of folks are atheists as a result. And a lot of history there in that region of Europe. And a lot of folks, though, that just need to know the truth, need to have what we've got here. So why I was first interested in going there is because my mom is from there. She immigrated to the States back in the 70s from there, and I met my father in college, and then they said they found me on the beach in Hawaii, but I don't believe them, and said that my sister was a blue light special at Kmart. It's encouraging parents anyway, but so I was saved when I was 6 years old. And when I was a teenager, I got called to preach, and I was at a Bible college. I was at a missions conference while in Bible college, and out of curiosity, I asked each missions board there if they had anybody or knew of anybody in Serbia, because I thought that would be awesome if I could find someone, hook them up with my family, see them saved, and I thought that would be tremendous. But unfortunately, they told me, no, we don't have anybody nor know of anybody there. So that shocked me, because I thought at that time there was an independent Baptist missionary in every country. Unfortunately, I was wrong. And so God used that to spark an interest, and then after several years of looking, God through the burden of that gave me a call to go there. And so I'm excited to be able to go over there and reach these folks. And I tell you, they just need the truth like we've got it here. So imagine really growing up in a place like that and not hearing the truth, not hearing it in power, not being able to receive the gospel and being saved, of course. And so what would happen? Of course, you would not be saved. You wouldn't go to heaven. And you would definitely would have wanted someone to be able to tell you. And so if you would, let's just pray the Lord speak to you while we watch this DVD presentation. Thank you.
Imagine, if you will, that you never heard the gospel, that you lived in a country where it wasn't really well known. Imagine your destiny because you never got saved. Just as the rich man from Luke 16 cried to Abraham, you too would wish that you had been reached with the gospel. You would wish that people would go to your loved ones so they too would not face eternal judgment in hell. There are many countries in the world today where this is not an imagination, but a common occurrence. One of those countries is that of Serbia. Serbia is a small, landlocked country located in Central Eastern Europe in the Balkans. This small country is only about the size of South Carolina, and yet it is home to around 8 million people, or just about the population of North Carolina. Some famous Serbs are Nikola Tesla, a famous inventor, Pistol Pete Maravich, whose parents were Serbian immigrants, Vlade Divac, Peja Stojaković, Rad Blagojevich, the former governor of Illinois, Novak Djokovic, who won a bronze medal, and Milorad Čavić, who almost beat Michael Phelps in the 100-meter butterfly swim race in the 2008 Olympics. Serbia is a country rich with history, but filled with conflict. It's a spiritually barren nation that has a form of Christianity, but not the substance. In North Carolina, you can just about find a good church on every corner wherever you turn, but that's not the case in Serbia. 85% of Serbians claim to be Serbian Orthodox, a religion consisting of tradition and a works-based salvation. Though they are a hard-working and a kind, hospitable people, their efforts will not give them eternal life. Even though the Orthodox Church separated from the Catholic Church in 1054 AD, it has kept much of the same false doctrine. The Serbians need to hear about the completed work of Christ on the cross of Calvary and the message of salvation by grace through faith and repentance, not of works, but how shall they hear without a preacher? Less than 1.1%, if that, are truly born-again Christians. Serbians, like everyone, have a void in their lives that only Jesus can fill. Because there are very few churches there, people in Serbia are going into eternity without receiving the gospel witness. Currently, there are no independent fundamental Baptist missionaries in Serbia or any independent fundamental Baptist churches there. Serbia needs the gospel. However, there is now an opportunity that we can do something about that. My name is Danny Foss, and I am a church planting missionary to Serbia. I am sent by Grace Baptist Church of Jacksonville, North Carolina, with Randy Roberts as pastor, a great soul-winning, bus-running, Bible-preaching church. I served there after I graduated from Bethel Baptist College in Jacksonville, Arkansas, also a great soul-winning, Bible-preaching church there. I have served as a bus director, college and career Sunday school teacher, nursing home director, and a yard maintenance worker, among other things. I was saved when I was 6 years old and called to preach when I was a teenager. When I was in Bible college, the Lord opened my eyes to the need of missions in Serbia. God has laid upon my heart the burden for the people of Serbia and has called me to reach them with the gospel. One may wonder and ask me, why Serbia? My mother actually was born and raised in Serbia in a family of 9 children and came to the U.S. in the 70s where she met my father. After much research and years of looking, I still could find no independent Baptist church planting missionaries there. I have a list of 100 most unreached people groups in the world. Serbia is the only country on that list located in Europe. God used that to call me there and confirmed it with his word with Isaiah 61:1. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. While there, I plan to learn Serbian, adjust to the culture, hold Bible studies, lead Serbians to salvation, start indigenous independent Baptist churches from those groups, and grow from there. I cannot reach Serbia alone. I understand this task is far beyond my ability. Your role in this ministry is of extreme importance, as it is not just financial support that I need, but more importantly, your prayers. Please pray that God would give us the right supporting churches to partner with, more laborers to come to Serbia, and pray for Serbians to be saved and churches to be planted. People may say, why don't you go somewhere else, somewhere easier? I ask, who then would reach the Serbians?
So many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the cross.
Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell.
Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell?
Cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply?
Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold, I will give the Lord control.
I will tell them all.
Once again, for allowing me to come tonight and show my my presentation, show my burden, share my burden for Serbia, and allowing me to speak to you and just tell you about these kind of things that these folks are facing over there. And I ask you if you would to be a part. You can be a part, of course, three ways. Number one, prayerfully. If you would, if you don't have a prayer card of mine yet, you can grab one from the display there. And actually, those are a little bit different than the ones I had here in the first place. And please use it. I recommend you put it on the most famous place in the Baptist household, the fridge. And I tell you, I'm a mess. I need as much prayer as I can get. And then number two, you can be involved financially. And maybe the Lord have the church be involved that way. And I hope that would be. I'm actually at 66% now. Started January last year, part-time, and then full-time at the end of May. Expect to get to 100% by the end of the year and get over there in January. And so if you would pray that way right there. And then also you can be involved, lastly, by physically coming yourself. And we need some more folks over there. And please don't be above that. In fact, I don't think I see anybody in here that's too old to do that. I know of a man went to the mission field at 81 years old. And we all ought to struggle with that, about maybe God would want us to be on the mission field. What a tremendous thing to do, to be a missionary. That would be phenomenal. And I'm excited to be able to do that. I don't deserve it. And I don't deserve any attention and any grace and any mercy, any love from the Lord. And I'm sure you could say that as well. Please turn your Bibles, first of all, to Exodus, and we're not going to delve from here. This won't be the message. We'll continue on in a little bit, so you can stay seated for now. But Exodus 17, and as you can see in the video, whenever I see these people's faces and I look at their eyes, I see like a hollowness to their lives in their eyes and an emptiness. And I believe that their lives are empty and just have a lot of problems religiously, economically, politically, internationally, because Christ is not their, is not a part of their life. And maybe if they get that, that'll help those other areas. But a lot of people have told me, why don't you go somewhere else, somewhere easier, like Africa, Asia, somewhere like that, where you see thousands of people get saved. And praise the Lord for those places. And I'm glad folks are going over there. And it may not be easy, yeah, in Serbia, but it's necessary. Because Jesus loves those folks, and He died for them, and He wants them to be saved just as much as everybody, as anybody. And so I just want to be able to go over there and allow them to have that, and allow them to know the truth. So Exodus 17 and verse number 12, the Bible tells us there, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. They sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so this has to do with prayer for missions. And you might ask me, what in the world are you talking about? How can this be about prayer for missions? Well, there's a lot we can learn from this, actually. And, of course, you know the story, a lot of you, that Joshua was down in the valley fighting with Amalek along with Israel. And Moses was up on the ridge praying and such like that. As long as he was praying, they were winning down there. And so this actually is very instructive for missions. Number one, we can learn here that the man of God gets weary. The man of God gets weary. Think about this. Your problems are pretty difficult for you. Think about this, that the man of God has to deal not only with your problems, but with a whole lot of other people's problems. And so it gets wearisome in the work. And I tell you, we ought to pray that men of God don't get weary of the work. It's going to get weary in the work, but pray they don't get weary of the work. We need more men of God to stand up, some more men to help folks to be reached with the gospel, reached with the truth, and stand up about convictions and standards, the right stuff. So the man of God gets weary. Number two, the task is more than one person can handle. This pastor can't handle his church by himself. He can't handle his community by himself. It's a team work, and missionaries can't handle it by themselves. And they say that, if I recall this right, that it takes 454 crew members to keep an F-15 in the air for 1 hour. And so I ask you, whose side are you on? What team are you a part of? And it's going to take a lot of backing of folks like you to help folks like me as missionaries to make a difference over on the mission field. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to fail without your help, without your consistency, without your teamwork in the battle there. And I ask if you would to be involved and to reach Serbia for the Lord. Number three, we can learn here that a person that is praying is just as much involved and as important as a person across the oceans fighting in the trenches and as a foreign missionary. You are just as much a part and as involved in missions as praying back here as them over there. And boy, what an important task this is. In fact, I think it is the most important task, is praying for missions. Let me liken it like this, how important the missions is in how important prayer is to missions. We have the best military in the world, and I praise God for that. And thank God for that. But we don't need to trust in our military, because we don't need to trust in the armor of the flesh, because that could fail us. And God could take it out like that. But one of the things that give us that, that's the case, is that we have air superiority. And what happens is that we want to go into a land and try to obtain the victory there. So what we'll do is we'll send in the air force, and they'll bomb the stuffings out of the place. And they'll carpet bomb the area and such like that. And so it'll just weaken the defenses of the place so much, and all their resources are gone. They're just spent. And so it's easy for the ground troops just to come in and capture land and obtain the victory. And so it's almost effortless at times. Well, that's what prayer for missions should be like. And it can be like, is that you would bombard these countries with your prayers that God would work in a great way and make it easy for missionaries just to come in and see folks saved and make the difference, the eternal difference for folks like that. And I tell you, I can't do it by myself. I need your help. And I ask you, to please pray for Serbia. I'm asking for a big thing. It's an important task to pray for missions, to pray for Serbia, and to pray that God will work in a great way over there. And so lastly, we can also learn that the enemy wins as long as we cease holding the hands up. As long as we cease praying, the enemy's going to win. Why do missionaries come off the field? Why do pastors get out of the pastorate? Why do churches fold up and die? It's because I don't think we're praying like we should. And so I ask, if you would, to do that. Do that for Serbia. Do that for me. I don't deserve your prayers. And I thank you so much ahead of time for all that you will be doing. I really appreciate that in a great way. And so I'm telling you, this is some important stuff right here, and I hope that was a blessing. Let's turn, please, to Revelation in chapter number 3, and we will have our message from here. But before we do, let me give you some more about Serbia that'll help you to remember about Serbia. Number one, World War I was started as a result of a Serbian guy, Gavrilo Princip, shot Prince Archduke Ferdinand. And such like that, so that'll help you remember there. Also, how many remember the Yugo? All right. Yugo was made in Serbia. And some of you are laughing and chuckling. You might know what I'm about to talk about. But the Yugo was kind of like the compact car of the 80s. And it was cheap on price and cheap on quality, too. And they had an article in the New York Post a few weeks ago that said that it was the worst car in history. And I was surprised at that. But I started looking up some stuff, and I found some things you might like here. What do you call a Yugo in a junkyard? A blessing. What do you call a Yugo with brakes? Customized. What do you call a Yugo at the top of a hill? A miracle. How do you double the value of a Yugo? Fill the tank with gas. What's found in the last two pages of every Yugo manual? A bus schedule. There was a guy who went to a parts store and said, I'd like to get a gas cap for a Yugo. And the employee said, that sounds like a fair trade. A Yugo can go 0 to 60 in 15 seconds. You just have to push it off a cliff. They said Yugo missed out on a great slogan that Doritos took. Crunch all you want. We'll make more. Then they decided in the 90s to diversify. They made a moped, called it Igo. Made a four-door car, called it WeGo. Made a station wagon and called it Y'all Go. I say they made a bus and called it All Y'all Go. That's the plural of y'all.